Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. Another week, another day, another month, another year, another dollar, another cent, another flying bird on the wing, up to the moon, around the moon, into the sun, poetry. Welcome to the show, Keith and Hemda. Hello, how are you?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm COVID good.
How are you? I thought you were having a stroke for a second.
I was doing a poem. I was doing a interpretive, lyrical, verbal poetry.
I feel like I should have been snapping.
So, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good.
Powerful. Powerful stuff.
How are things over there? How are things health-wise?
Things are pretty much the same. I'm still sort of in this weird limbo holding pattern where I'm on a medication that is supposed to do something, and we're just waiting to see if it's going to work. And while we wait to see if it's going to work, they maybe try to find me a donor for a bone marrow transplant because they're pretty sure it's not going to work. So it's like, every week, I go to the lab, I get my blood drawn, I say what's up to the guy at the front desk, I say what's up to the phlebotomists. You know, they all know me now because it's a pretty small, small place.
We all need a routine.
Yeah, you know? I do my spiel, like, you're probably not going to find any veins up here. They're pretty deep, but you can definitely go on the hands. It's fine. I got some good ones on the wrist.
Do you offer your hand right away? Because I'm like, I beg them. I'm like, please find a vein in my arm. I know it's not looking good today, but, and then they finally look at me and are like, we're going through your hands.
Oh. Well, I feel like I always have them look in my arms first, but lately it's been so... They haven't been able to get anything, so I'd rather just have them go straight to the hand than poke around in two places.
Fair enough. Keith, you wouldn't understand. We're in a special club.
I think everybody has, but I've had those nurses that can't find a vein, and they don't tell you, but you're like, all right, it's the sixth time. Something's up. You know, yeah. And then you have the people that know what they're doing, and they find it right away, so it's not necessarily my veins.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've run the gamut. I mean, I've gotten at least once a week, but oftentimes twice a week, blood drawn for the past year almost. So, you know, there's lots of different methods, lots of different styles. But I love
when they show off, the person who comes in, she's like, you're lucky you have me. Like, they literally tell you that. You're lucky you got me. I am the best. You're not even going to feel this. And it's like... Yeah. You know what? I learned. They're right. I get excited. I'm like, yeah, I tell them they're the best on the way out too. I'm like, you were the best. This has been the best. Come back. So I'm like, please come back.
Yeah. Recently, one lady was like, it's okay if you want to ask for me. Nobody gets offended. Like, she knows she's the best and all her coworkers know. So it's fine. So, yeah, you know, just going back tomorrow, I'll find out about the old platelets, and that's kind of my life now, just waiting for platelets.
Is there any kind of talk about who's a match?
No, I think behind the scenes, they have one coordinator who is looking for a match from, you know, the global database of people, and then they have another coordinator who's just testing my cousins, my family members. So I think they're still figuring it out, and they'll probably let me know. But when you're a patient, sometimes you're just like, they'll tell me when they want to. You're not like integral to the process, really. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And then you just kind of wait for them to fill you in. So like one of my cousins texted me today. He's like, I got a call from the lady, but I can't, you know, I have to get in touch with her and call back. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, I guess let me know what they say. I'm sure they will too, but I don't know.
Do they say, like, hey, this might be coming up soon, like, to any family members, don't be smoking or drinking, anything like that?
I don't know what they say to them. I think they just say, you know, are you alive? Are you, do you have any problems? No. Here's a special Q-tip, swab your mouth, send it back. And then I don't think they say anything extra. Okay. So everybody's kind of in the dark at all times.
Anybody say in one way or another they're not interested?
Like my cousins?
Yeah.
Well, I sent an email to everyone just being like, hey, this is the deal. You know, if you're willing to get tested, reply here with your contact info. And a few of them didn't reply. So I think that was clear.
Right, right.
But, I mean, I don't know what's going
even,
on
because I
them.
Can't even... Because if I'm saying no to you, I can't just wish you luck, you know? I got to ignore the whole email.
Yeah, I didn't give them the opportunity to say no. I was just like, if you're saying yes, here's what you do.
Right. And I yeah. On Facebook, I wrote maybe.
I said, if you don't want to, don't worry, because a guy named Keith Malley is fully prepared to donate his bone marrow to me, so we actually don't even need you. You're just a backup because I've got some good stuff waiting in the wings from my friend Keith Malley, who is just, you know, putting himself in front of traffic in order to donate his bone marrow to me. It's all he wants to do. It's all he talks about. He loves it.
And yeah, you want that Malley blood. Who doesn't?
But yeah. You might as well check family first, you know, for the match. Oh boy.
You don't want them to think you're rude.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's just all so bizarre. I mean, who ever figured out, like, you know, even to the point where you're like, I bet your blood comes from your bone marrow. Like, who had that idea? They're like, we replace this, we could probably do this. And it sells. And my idea is it's like, when I think about medical research, the vibe I get is like a bunch of stoners, like around a bong, being like, well, what if we took it out of someone else's bone and we just like put it back into someone else's, but they're brothers, so it's probably gonna be fine, right? They're like, yeah, dude, let's fucking try it. And then, you know, it's a slippery slope between stoner craziness and medical doctor.
They're like, and then, yeah, he could just take his blood and be excellent to one another.
Coexist, man. So yeah, that's me. Any news that anything I missed from your lives?
Kenda?
I ordered food last night, yes! Which is a big deal. I got excited. And yes! Then 2 hours later, three phone calls and seamless shit in. They were still somehow any minute going to show up at my house.
No.
So let's cross fingers. There's still time. It's not even been 24 hours.
No.
So that's what you missed.
So hungry.
She's so hungry.
I turned into such a cunt. I was like, let me just not speak as much as possible because I am so hungry. Because
yeah.
We also, you know, you order it late and then you're like, oh, it's going to take an hour. And then that's fine. You just keep saying fine. And then, yeah. Anyway.
Well, I called the place the other day. They said, oh, it's on the way. And I said, I didn't deliver. He's like, oh, you're good. Okay. What do you want?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's my new mission is to call every restaurant in the area and see if they have my shit on its way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's then, all on its way.
Mark it like that.
You say, this is a human rights violation.
I know. I felt like, I'm like, I know that everything I'm feeling right now is not going to be good results. I'm just going to stay quiet. And I cooked something real quick.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good to know. So you're coming at this from, you know, a little bit behind, you're a little bit pissed. Is that fair to say? You're in the mindset of like, you know, this world is so fucked up. What are we even fucking doing?
Except for that I got all my money back, and then I was like, I shouldn't have been spending that money on food. Well, I'm rich now.
That brings us to last week's shows, episodes 3308 to 3310. So 3308, kill them all. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the vibe of, you know, that's kind of Hemda's vibe toward delivery workers.
Feels it.
She's like, you know, come rain, sleet, snow, hail, pandemic, you're gonna bring me my sandwich to my door or else.
Mm-hmm. Then I checked the review, and the first review was that day, and it said, hey, it never showed up. One star.
I don't like that you still have to give a star.
But then I started right away. I started feeling guilty. I'm like, wait, if everyone's food is not showing up, maybe the delivery guy like fell and is in a ditch somewhere. And then I was like, I'm hungry. Goodbye. I can't with this.
Like if a guy you go on a date with doesn't text you back, and you're like, he's probably dead.
Yeah, right. They're all dead. I've killed so many.
You, Keith, talked about your outdoor comedy experience. No masks, full mayhem.
Mayhem on people on top of people.
And comedians coming up to you and daring to say hello. And you're treating them. You're treating them as if.
I gotta keep my hands in my pockets. Yeah.
And you're treating them as if in normal society they follow the rules. So why? So now that it's pandemic, it only follows that they should also be following the rules.
Saying you're not surprised. Counterculture as it is.
Yeah. They're the bad boys of, you know, talking.
Yeah.
As it were.
The bad boys of talking. So. Well, the bad boys, now they're the bad boys of touching. Well, Keith, I don't know your rules. CNN's rules! What are my rules, you piece of shit?
Are you okay with me spitting in your mouth? I don't know. Where are we? What are we doing?
What's your line?
How strict are we being? Can I lick your nostril or?
Right.
It's a joke. It's a gag, you know, truth in comedy. I want to give you COVID so that we can all laugh about it later.
And they think it's like, you know, all right, let's just touch fingertips. Hee, hee, hee.
Pushing the envelope, you know, this is how Kinnison would have dealt with COVID.
Right. So. Somebody goes to shake my hand. I'm like, ooh, a regular George Carlin.
Exactly. Breaking down barriers, literally. But also it seems like from what I've heard from maybe the past decade of listening to comedy podcasts where comedians talk about doing comedy is that the room is so important. You know, comedy can't happen during the day. and how do they expect the audience? Because of we need a ceiling and we need dim lighting and we need the ambiance and the 2-drink minimum and the waitress and this and I played that room in Minneapolis and that's a great room and that room in Atlanta, what a hell of a room. And now that they can't get into their favorite rooms, they're like, I'm in the park. Join me by this tree. I really want you to hear what I have to say, my opinions.
Yeah, 90 degrees, high noon. That's okay now.
We do what we got to do, man, for the art.
Right. I mean, that, like when somebody doesn't laugh in the park, do they be like, well, of course not, but at least I got paid. But nobody literally could laugh outside.
Nobody literally gets paid.
Right.
It's just a bunch of lunatics yelling at the sky. Speaking of which, Hemda, have you done your backyard camping adventure yet?
Not yet, because the benches that I had that were made out of those pallets, We, and by we, I don't mean me for one second, we had to break them down. And now in order to put them out of the garbage, you have to like make sure that none of the nails are sticking out and then stack them. So that's a big project. Just, and then put them out on the right recycling day. Mm-hmm. So first we got to take all the stuff out of the backyard.
Okay.
Exciting. I know. This COVID lifestyle.
Do you think Keith would let you camp in his backyard?
For what?
If I build him a bench, yeah.
Oh.
You already okay. did?
Yes. I do need shelving. We could work something out.
Do you still have something that needs to be built?
I have something. I have to buy a new... I have one of those circle towel holders. Mm-hmm. But it stinks up a towel. You need the long one. So I have to get that. So I'll need help with that.
Oh.
It stinks up a towel. You need the long one? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the circle one crunches up your towel. So the mildew or wetness stays in there. And it gets smelly fast. So you need a long one so you can, you know, spread out your towel.
It stinks up a towel. You need the long one. I was like, is that words that he says?
Is it weird that I understood it exactly? I'm like, yeah.
It stinks up the towel. You need a long one.
And Kyle was convincing me to get art for the wall, so now I have art for the wall. But, you know, what do I do?
What's your art for the wall?
It's a suspended bridge in three panels.
Okay. How did you pick? Did you Google art for the wall?
She did.
Oh, okay.
She picked.
That's actually a good one. I could see that in your place.
I like it, but now I just need somebody to come over. That's the thing.
And hang it up.
And hang it up.
What if you hang your towel where the art goes and the art where the towel goes? Just kind of do your own thing with it.
I hear what you're saying, but if you recall...
I think Kyle would be really, really happy about that.
I already have art in my bathroom. It's this thing Andrea gave me. I don't know where she got it. Something you would buy at some trashy street fair. And it's a big titted woman with barely any clothes on being held by the Grim Reaper. Because that's fucking hard as shit.
It's really sick, nasty, cool.
It's sick, nasty, cool. And I have it behind my towel. So when you take the towel, it's like, whoa, I'm scared and I want to whack it.
What a contribution, Andrea.
Yeah. It's like, what do you want to do before you die? You want to do this hot chick. Guitar riff. It's very rock and roll. I love
it. But then I forget when Kyle's kids are over, you know, and I want to be like, just so you know, I know it's stupid. That's why it's up, because it's so stupid.
Well, you know, that's just another thing to grapple with. Mm-hmm.
I recently threw out that cross that I have in the kitchen. I had it on the side, sort of like pointing sideways and up and upside down. But people kept thinking it's a statement of an upside down cross. And I'm like, no, it's just a pretty shape. And I put it twisted so that nobody thinks it represents anything.
Oh, I assumed that too.
Yeah. I'm sick of people misunderstanding this. And I understand. I'm like, well, I get it. If everyone's misunderstanding it, I'm wrong. And I just threw it out.
All right. Well, yeah. Take that, Christ.
I don't like you enough to be mad at you.
This is what you are to me, on the top of the trash heap. Yep. Anyways... What was the poll for that episode, Keith?
The poll was, had to do, I believe, with my dad. The poll was, did one of your parents or guardians threaten to die throughout your life?
Mm-hmm. No.
Not for me either. 28%
say yes. 28% say yes.
That's high for your guardian, for the person who keeps you alive, gives you hope, teaches you where to find it, motivates you. Tries to keep you healthy. I'm about to die your whole life.
Guilt and shame is really quite a powerful manipulator.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
It seems like the last thing you'd want to say, but I can understand the impulse of being like, well, someday you won't have to worry about that because I'll be gone.
After my dad would yell at me, he'd go, great, now I have a headache. And he'd dramatically take an aspirin in front of me. You made me take this.
Did he say those words?
Yeah, yeah. Look what you made me do. I have to aspirin.
My mom would say she had a headache too. And it's just when, like, and she just had a headache a lot. And tea would make it go away, of course. Mm. But yeah, if we asked her too much about a very logical thing, she'd be like, okay, you're giving me a headache now. I'm like, okay, this is my life. But yeah, I guess what can I say? No, you have to keep talking to me. Yeah. I give you a headache.
Well, I mean, here's another one in the column of your dad's pretty fucked up. So that column is getting pretty long, whereas the one that says your dad's not that fucked up is getting shorter by comparison.
I can't think of anything that he does as a person.
No, me neither.
Nothing.
Actually, it's not even just getting shorter by comparison. It's like some of the decent stuff had to be removed when Keith realized, no, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there one good thing about your dad?
This is what I'm saying. Okay. If he was a chaperone at some kind of school event, going to a zoo or a museum, he was fun.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. We learned that we need to have Keith explain what fun is, and then we tell him.
Well, he was putting on a performance for the other kids, being cool, fun dad.
Yes.
Look at me. I'm Keith's dad. I'm a lot of fun. You may think that Keith's a piece of shit, which he is. I think so. But me, his dad, I'm really cool and fun.
So he knew how to be cool. In what way was he cool?
I wouldn't say cool, but, you know, just, I don't know. Just, you know, there wasn't yelling in front of other kids. So that was sweet.
Keith? Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, so he didn't beat you in front of the other children.
Yeah, so that was a good
okay. He didn't yell at you in front of the other children.
Right.
And did he crack a joke that made sense?
He tried, yeah.
And it wasn't embarrassing.
I don't remember really being embarrassed at one of those events. Of course, I was embarrassed when he'd, you know, sneak into school and stare through the door window at me when I'm in class, but this was different.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
So there you go. Cool. Nice try.
Fully convinced, because I feel like we just need a couple more years where you tell that story again and something's going to come out. Very weird. It was just cool. Not embarrassing.
Yeah, cool is such a big word you're using. He was all right.
He was fun. You said he was fun.
Yeah, he was fun.
Fun. Okay, well, it was fun.
Well, I don't know. It's a zoo. What can you do? I didn't fuck a penguin.
Okay, but so he didn't fuck a penguin. Great. Put that in the win column. Wonderful.
He was fun. I never heard of so much fun in my life, but okay. He didn't beat you or yell at you.
That's a good time.
All right, let's move on.
Went in my gratitude list. That's all I know.
Speaking of parents, episode 3309, Build Back Better.
Yes.
With Lizzie Cassidy.
Are you watching any of the conventions?
I watched some of the speeches. Michelle Obama, Amy Klobuchar, mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders, etc. Just as I caught them. It's very odd to have it be all, you know, remote, and it kind of like shows how maybe unnecessary the whole thing is, and the conventions themselves are pretty much just parades. So maybe we'll just get this type of thing going forward, which might not be a bad change. Because, like, balloons falling from the ceiling and, you know,
I want to experience that. I want balloons falling from the ceiling at some point. Like, I did it. Yes.
Yeah, but not for this. When it's like something that everybody already knows.
Yeah.
The nominee is Joe Biden.
And he accepted. And he accepted. Mind blowing. He goes, you know what, actually? Thank you so much for going this far. Yeah. You have Bernie Sanders endorsing Biden. Then the next day they got to count Bernie Sanders and Biden votes. It's like, well, I think Bernie shot himself in the foot by endorsing Biden the day before. But let's see how many delegates he gets. Oops, not enough. Yay, balloons. Yeah.
It's fake. It's all fake. So whatever.
Okay, but since we're on the record, just because we're on the record, even if we know I'm about to get a prize and then it's the day of and I get the prize and somebody arranges for balloons to fall on everybody, including me, yes.
I think Kendall would have been nervous during the Biden-Bernie vote count.
What's going to happen?
Is that the third state that Bernie won? Oh, boy.
Imagine if balloons fell on Bernie. I feel like he'd just be mad.
They'd crush him. No.
But tell me it wouldn't be the funniest thing if they go through all 50 states and then they cut to Bernie in his house and it's obviously pre-recorded, but he's just taking a bat and breaking everything. That'd be fucking hilarious. Oh, well.
My fellow Americans, balloons. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's just like bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
You talked about the idea of peppering fake articles into a local newspaper at your dad's town.
Yes.
That are referring to things that have happened in his life.
Yes.
Now, where are we with that idea? Where are we with that project?
First of all, I just want to point out on a side note, our Reddit is full of people having ideas about this and a bunch of other stuff. This thread is blowing up, the one about your dad. So if you are on Reddit, check out where /r/Keith and the Girl.
I'll take a look. I do have to get on it, right? Because time moves fast. I haven't done anything yet. But I will. So you know what? I'll talk to Ken today and we'll get to the bottom of it.
Okay. That's exciting. Yeah. Lizzie Cassidy is a fun guest. Mm-hmm. She's really rolls with the punches, you know, of the episode. And I think she seems like a real fun kind of gal.
Yeah.
Down for whatever.
Super great. Everything that she said was hilarious. Really answers your question, you know, is not embarrassed. And I love that. She's perfect. Did we have any, was that one that we had technical difficulties on?
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
No, her audio didn't drop or something or change.
Who knows?
I don't know. We might have. Oh,
Keith,
we were going to almost.
Do you remember doing the show at all?
No, I don't know. You say Lizzie was there. I believe you. maybe it's hard though. It's hard. It's this virtual stuff is tough.
Speak on that. What do you mean?
That's it. That never mind not feeling another person's energy like they were in the room, but you know, everybody has different glitches. Oh yeah, Lizzie was a glitch.
We had to use the backup audio for this one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something happened, but I forget what.
I know. Borrowed equipment to use, but the person knew the equipment didn't work.
Anyway, whatever. Something came out. I don't know what happened. And then her audio dropped or something. And we were going to actually, I think we were considering finishing the show without her. But then we used the backup audio and we were able to keep going.
And no one knew a fucking thing.
This is so weird because it wasn't even a week ago and I'm also having trouble remembering the details. Right. It's like it was a year ago. It's very, very strange. Mm. Very Twilight Zone.
Everybody has different equipment. You got to figure that out. I don't know. It's just a pain. That part of it.
Oh, yeah. Well. Are you getting sick of the virtual recording?
Sick of the setting up a little bit, but whatever.
Do you miss messing with people in the studio, like when they walk in doing your bits and skits of like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, no, I think Lizzie's great and you're on the phone and I don't care what anyone says. Oh, sorry, didn't see you there. that kind of thing.
I miss that. The classic, of course, is pretending I picked up a pill next to someone and go, is this yours? And then eat it. And of course, I knew what it was the whole time, so everything's fine. That doesn't work over Zoom at all.
It's so sad. Yeah. It's so sad because that's like a whole sort of facet of your comedic voice that's missing.
You know what we should do? Taking from that one, okay, but we should do a Zoom version of it. We recorded someone recently right before the show. I'm like, okay, so you heard the show a little bit, so you get the tone and whatever. And she goes, oh, a little bit. And I was like, you didn't hear the show. So what I think we should do is we should introduce the guest and then hold up pills in our hands and go, all right, are you ready? Guest name, right? 3, 2, 1. And, you know, like as if she was supposed to get this in the mail, you got your package, right. Like all the stuff. And then see if, you know, as we normally do in the start of the show, it's time to take that pill or some kind of
just say gag. The guest. Okay, go ahead, guest. And whenever you're ready, go ahead.
Yeah, something. Something where it, like this is a repeat thing so our listeners know, and then if the guest didn't hear the show for like 10 minutes at all, they won't know it's coming, and then we can move on. It's just right. All right, guys, this person never listened to the show,
so I'm taking big time ideas. So hazing.
Yes,
nice,
we can call it hazing.
You talked in this episode about paper.
I say we start acting. Sorry, what if we start acting like we're a white power show or something like that when the person never listened?
It's got to be something where it's like so innocent and like so, you know, casual, but also bit like a pill is funny. White power. I don't want to even like what's the script on that? You know,
I mean? I said or something.
Okay. No.
Maybe like you're like, okay, and we start the show with this famous slogan, banana, 8-track, Wonder Bread. And then they're like, banana, 8-track, Wonder Bread. I got it. I don't know.
I like just it.
Well, no bad ideas in a brainstorm.
Right. Yeah, I think people should chime in with what they think it should be. Okay, go ahead.
You talked about newspaper. Physical newspaper paper versus pop-up ads, Keith. This had the real flavor of a kids these days style rant.
I understand, but I don't know how people look through these fucking papers. Hey, here's whatever, a list of whatever, and you got to find the right next to hit. You never have problems with that. You're a cool customer. I don't know.
Well, Bianca, where do you get the news? Your news?
The New York Times and New
Physical?
York. Nope, the website of the newspaper, which doesn't have sneaky ads.
But you pay for it.
Right? I do.
All right. But Keith doesn't realize he pays for his papers too.
I just think maybe you're going to the wrong sources if they're trying to trick you into clicking on ads for this, that, and the next. I don't think that their main objective is to tell you the news at that point.
I think it's anything. It could be Huffington Post, any of these, where you, if you don't pay, it's just, it's unreadable.
Okay.
I don't know how to tell Keith this, but we have the budget for 1 or 2 newspaper.coms. For you.
Kendra's just trying to look young in front of you. She mentioned how she has problems. She's all of a sudden at some other site buying fake eyeliner from the Chinese.
Imagine, Keith, if she said, and just this just in, we do have the budget for you to get a newspapers.com and balloons just fall from your ceiling your Zoom. That would be so exciting.
That would be
just
so great.
Assumed life was too tough for everybody, but all right, that's great news.
So I think the poll was about that very issue, if I'm not mistaken.
You could also quickly scan a newspaper. You know, online, you got to be scrolling. Okay, is this worth my time? I can just look at it. I'm at the whole article and be like, is this worth my time? And quite frankly, know it because I'm a genius. You can't do that online. I think. Anyway, newspapers versus online news was the poll. 14% say newspapers. 86% are linked to online fake news. They're not all reading the goddamn Times. They're forwarding bullshit. Newspapers have to at least have somebody vet it.
And another thing.
Yeah. 14% of respondents also reported that you should get off their lawn. Very interesting.
I first of all, I heard your tone the whole way there from even the beginning.
Good.
So I zoned out deliberately.
Yeah, good. All right. Fine. moving briskly along.
Please.
3310, Pandemic of the Mind.
Mm.
Ooh, open your third eye with Frank Conniff.
Yes.
What a kind, sweet guest.
Always.
And, you know, it's always interesting when there's a guest with like a very cool resume, but maybe they're not as podcast, they don't have the podcasting energy that we're used to. And, you know, you two are such pros. You take them and you're, you know, their little face in your little hands and you guide them through and you make up for the energy on the back end, which I find to be very inspiring. So good on ya. Great interview. Great guest.
Good.
He got some fun, you know, little zingers in. And he seems like a really interesting guy.
Fucking nailed it. See, the thing is we know that he's going to have a different speed than us. And it might be nerve-wracking. But I think when you go, like, we usually go so fast. Let's just slow down. He will be funnier, you know. And he's so good at those, like, that short commentary on something. It's just beautiful. So I definitely didn't want to bulldoze that, you know, it wouldn't have come off good. So I'm so glad to hear that. That's great. He's such a nice guy, too.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be on Silent Trailers.
Yes, him and Trace. So I, no joke, this is probably the most Keith will be nervous because it's also Doug Benson. You know,
Doug
he does
loves
a
movies.
Exactly.
No.
I know. So, yeah, it's, and I'm not discounting the other three on the lineup. They'll be hilarious, but Keith will stand a little bit of a chance. These guys, they already named, Frank already named a movie that Keith hasn't even heard of.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, so the only thing Keith will have going for him is that he speaks Chemda. So,
I speak Chemda. Hopefully, Doug will be high as fuck.
Right.
I don't know if that helps him or hurts him, though.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Do you feel nervous?
Yes.
You've been pretty tight-lipped.
Yeah, yeah. I always get nervous during those, as if it matters. But yeah, this is some lineup we got going on today.
Yeah. I liked when Frank spilled the tea a little bit about Ellen DeGen.
Yes.
Being like, well, from what I've heard from people, and it's not me saying this, but it's something that I have heard from quite
right.
a few, and she's not very nice. And
people aren't shy about her. You notice that? Like, in general,
yeah.
It's like, oh, it's Hollywood. I don't want to get in trouble or even cause trouble. I know she's beloved, so why get people mad at me? No one has any problem saying
she
that
must
she's an
be
asshole.
Awful for
yeah.
that to be true, you know?
But also, could it be also that she's one of the few women in that position, and so we're a little maybe easier to be like, fuck her. Maybe a little.
Maybe
she does have power, though, so it is interesting because the power still stands there. So.
The answer is no.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll describe a different movie. Here we go.
Oh, Ellen, I'm so I want a tell all. I want somebody to write a tell all.
Yeah. Well,
I
they are slowly, I guess.
Like it's not. I think it makes it more egregious because her whole shtick is about like helping
being
hand,
nice.
Kindness. We're doing viral video. We're doing like a cute kid saying hello. We're doing like a mom is having trouble. You know, she like took the torch of Oprah. But
right.
if there's like a dark underbelly, that's hugely compelling.
Yeah, maybe that's why people are so quick to, you know, the contrast of it maybe they're responding to. Because that is, as you're describing that, I'm like, right, this is very Oprah-esque. And if we found out that Oprah did some shitty stuff, like that her employees didn't like her, that would be weird.
Right. Well, it's almost like, it reminds me of like Brian Callen, for instance. Mm-hmm. He ends up talking about Chris D'Elia and be like, oh my goodness, shocking stuff. You know, I don't know. It's tough. He's my friend. I don't know how I feel. And because he said that, people said, well, you know what, motherfucker? Wait a minute. You're a rapist. And then that's when people are willing to say something. And so maybe that's what it is with Alan. Like, wait, be kind to each other. Why do you have to push it? Mm. No, now I'm talking.
Mm. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
The poll.
The poll was, have you, well, this was in regards to my girlfriend texted.
Oh my God. How did I forget?
She was training. Yeah.
I wrote it here on my notes. Mistaken sexts.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sexted the wrong person? She, of course, has sexted this woman. I want your hard cock.
No, I haven't.
Okay. We asked the audience, have you ever accidentally sexted the wrong person? 16% have.
Here, Bianca, remember when you and I were talking here on this very show and I was like, I don't really know how to text. I want your hard cock. You just have to like simplify it.
Yeah.
No one has to be on a ceiling fan, you know, just.
Kind of like, I want your cock. I'm going to guess it's 80% full of blood now. Very descriptive.
Do you have a semi? I want it. Now, later, whatever's convenient for you, like whenever it's in working order, I'll take it. Oh, you're not in the mood now. That's fine, too. I respect your boundary.
I demand your hard cock. Not demand, but I wish for it.
You just have to list your wants, right?
So when does Kyle see this woman again for training?
Let's see. I believe tomorrow.
All right.
Does she bring cake in the shape of a penis?
No, you let that go.
Oh, okay.
Do you think she's going to bring it up?
Maybe. Maybe the woman might to laugh at it, maybe. But, you know, she already said, like, she has a sense of humor, so that's good.
Did you get that hard cock?
Right. Right.
Right.
You able to train me now cuz you got a nice hard cock? It's been a week. You get that hard cock, can you? Okay, good. All right. So push-ups.
Ugh, I don't know. I would probably have to dissolve the professional relationship.
Right.
If I was Kyle, I'd say good for her, because I would be so embarrassed, I think.
Right.
I'd be like,
well, it's a motivator, right? Kyle's in great shape, and it's like, you keep working out, get in good shape, you get that hard cock, right? Lesson learned.
Yeah,
or you just, sure. Maybe she just wants it. You don't know who that's being sent to.
Well, it sounds like it just bummed the woman out. Like, it was a long time since someone asked me that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she did a emoji of like the thinking face.
Right. Yeah, like, she did.
Yeah.
No joke, she did, yeah.
I know. I saw the picture on the app of the screenshot.
Right.
It's been quite a while since I've received a request such as that.
As per.
Must be nice. Yeah, I mean, it just goes right straight to the stereotype that jocks have a lot of sex. Like Kyle, she's like a cool jock.
Right.
She's fucking all the time. So cool. So for the VIP show, I took a trip down memory lane this week. I listened to the very first episode of last week on Keith and the Girl.
All right.
From February 7th, 2018.
Wow.
Yeah. A real friggin' time warp, okay?
Whoa.
We had just had the marathon, and I had been helping him. I helped you schedule the guests and sent all the emails. So we talked about how nervous I was that nobody would show up because I...
I liked, I liked your questions. If I'm remembering correctly, you would second guess if you did it right because the questions coming back were so asinine
right.
that you thought maybe the system broke.
Yeah. It's like, surely you can't be serious.
And I was like, no, these are going to be the questions and the confusion. And yes, you were very clear.
We talked a lot in that episode about, because Keith, you were dating at the time, and Hemda, you were married at the time.
Oh,
and wow, you talked about how the best thing for online dating would be to put pictures with Hemda in your group picture dating profile.
Xerxes just reminded me that I told him that too.
Do you still think that that's a good idea?
Yes.
She stands by it. Okay.
Yes. You have group shots. If we met and took pictures, throw me in there. That's fun.
Right. But what is it? Does it like, is there a conversation starter? Like, I noticed you have a friend with long hair. Like,
find
what
out.
It shows you have a friend. It shows that you don't mind Semites.
See what kind of questions, like, how'd you meet one of them? If that's the question, you learned a little something, you know? Yeah. Or maybe you find people who listen to the show, like, sort of by accident. That's fun. Or who cares? That's a fun night you might want to talk about. If we met, it was probably at an event, probably comedy related, probably like someone who's famous now. Like, that's fun. Right. Throw me in there.
For my pictures, I found a black guy, an Indian woman, Hemda was there, and then I'm on the side pointing to him going, ah? And I think chicks like that.
Yeah, I mean, we like what we know about you there.
See?
Well, it was fun to go back to Keith dating time because it was a short-lived but fun period in our history with lots of, you know, this and that and gifts and bagels and candy. Mm-hmm. And
oh, the bagels.
The bagels.
So clever of Hemda.
I wasn't going to take credit, Keith.
This girl had a, and I don't want to brag, but she was a woman when I say girl.
Oh.
And yeah. Nice. And she was working at her brother's flower shop all day long on Valentine's Day. And then Hemda was like, buy them lunch. And I'm like, boom. Drip. Drop.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Shabaloosh.
Also, on the very first episode, I started with Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I ended with a song, and Moving Briskly Along was coined in that
right away.
Very first episode.
Nice.
So.
Ooh. You had your voice right away.
Stick with what works.
Right.
So that was pretty fun to hear, you know, our innocence back when there wasn't a pandemic, back when I didn't know that I had cancer. Maybe I did have it at that point. I just didn't know. Back before, you know, the world broke in half.
You couldn't hear any clues, like if you had leukemia back then?
I did have a little bit of a cancerous rasp to my voice right, a little right. bit. So funny,
was it weird hearing you? I don't like hearing myself.
A little bit, because on one level it feels like it was a million years ago, but on another level it could have been yesterday because I remember, you know, how I felt in that moment, and I was excited to be doing the show, and I think I was nervous, and I remember feeling like it didn't go well afterwards, but.
Oh, I think we loved it right away, right?
I'm looking at the forums right now from that day. Bianca is so funny. Love this show. Bianca is a great host, and I really enjoyed how briskly she kept things moving.
See? See? Well, it's been a couple years, guys, so we've moved it briskly ahead.
Indeed.
And I just wanted to, you know, say thanks.
Yeah,
thank
here
you.
We are now. So where are we at? We're like, 2.5 years.
Yep.
Mm.
Two and
what
a
is
half
that
years.
Like, about 20 years in COVID?
Well, anyway, that was my
anyways. All that, was, but anyways.
Anyways, that was me. then this is me now saying, fuck you, listener. Just kidding. Yeah, last week was a good one. And looking forward to next week's shows. I mean, I don't know what more I can say. You know, you keep entertaining us, we're going to keep being entertained. And that's the contract we've built.
Right. I played that show that had the sections about the fake newspaper to my brother, and he was very, very pleased. So yeah. That was fun. We listened together.
Oh.
Yeah. And then somebody said, do you think you talk about your dad too much? And I said, ooh, terrible timing, because we just laughed our balls off.
Oh. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to sign off now with my classic sign-off song, which is the same every week.
Right. Do we have to start it?
And we all know it. And it goes a little something like this. 3, 2, oh, 1. Everybody's listening to last week on Keith and the Girl. This is the lullaby that ends the show. And everybody knows all the words.
For sure.
For sure. KeithandtheGirl.com.